Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Path to Piety 2012 at Masjid Darul Salam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday at 5:15 p.m., 7th of April 2012. The rank of the companions in the Quran and Sunnah. The speech is presented by Sheikh Taha Kiran Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله الطاهرين وصحبه الطيبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Often when we approach the issue of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, we've been listening to lectures about the personality of Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid and Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. But these are individuals that belong to a larger group. And the merits of this particular group of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, before we look at the books of history, before we look at the books of hadith, before we look at what any particular human had to say about them, it would be to our advantage to hear what Allah Ta'ala had to say about them. He's the one who created them, he's the one who selected them for the companionship of his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There must have been a particular reason why he chose these particular men. These men, the Sahaba, the Muhajireen and the Ansar. And he gave them such a status that he did not leave for you and me to define. He himself declared their status in the Quran, that book of guidance, which will remain the source of guidance till the end of days. So the merits of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are inscribed within the Quran, there to serve as a source of guidance, as a source for us to form our impressions about them, not simply to be influenced by what we have heard from here or there, or read in this particular book or that book, but to take it from a book which is لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلِ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. A book that cannot be approached by any falsehood, neither from in front nor from behind. It is something revealed by Allah Ta'ala Himself, Allah the Mighty, Allah the Wise. So it is to that book that we turn at this moment, in order to discover from there how does, what position do the Sahaba radiallahu anhum hold with Allah Ta'ala. We'll be doing it in the following format. We'll be looking at a number of the great battles that were fought in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the period in Medina. We'll be starting from the battle of Badr, thereafter going on to the battle of Uhud that took place in the third year, thereafter going on to the expulsion of Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe that lived in Medina Munawwara that became guilty of treason against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was then expelled. And each of these occasions Allah Ta'ala used to make clear to us a certain thing and to make clear to us a certain phenomenon in the society in Medina, that there is a certain group of people called who? The Sahaba. There's a certain group of people called Mu'minun, imbued with Iman, whose hearts are alive with Iman. Allah Ta'ala makes it clear to us who they are. And since Medina contains more than them, each of these particular instances was used by Allah Ta'ala to indicate who exactly are those whose claim to Iman is a false claim. Who are the Munafiqeen? So on the one hand we have the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Mu'minun. On the other hand we have the Munafiqun. And we will be taking a look at how Allah Ta'ala uses these battles, uses these incidents as flashpoints for us to understand what society was like and how eventually the ones upon whom devolved the task of carrying forth the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they came to be separated from the ones whose hearts were not truly upon Iman. So we start from Badr and thereafter Uhud. Thereafter the expulsion of Banu Nadir from Medina. Thereafter we look at the battle of the Khandaq, of the trench, when Medina Munawwara was attacked by people from the outside and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to dig a trench to protect Medina. That occasion was used by Allah Ta'ala for the same purpose. We move thereafter to the year 6 after the Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went on to Makkah Mukarramah to perform the Umrah, and then they were stopped at Hudaybiyah. And that occasion again Allah Ta'ala used to indicate to us what was the status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to them, to Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter comes the conquest of Makkah. After going through all of these trials and tribulations, after going through all of these tests, each one an acid test, so to separate the dependable from the undependable, to separate the believer from the hypocrite. After all of these tests, eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ready to march back to Makkah, that city which had driven him out once upon a time, because he had such men around him, about whom Allah Ta'ala will tell him, يَا أَيُّوَ النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Sufficient for you is Allah and those believers who have followed you. But immediately in the wake of the conquest of Mecca, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was so impressed with their victory that they thought their numbers brings them victory. So Allah Ta'ala immediately brings about a temporary rout at Hunayn, where the Arab tribes gather to make a last stand against Islam, to make a last stand against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And Allah Ta'ala brings it to their attention that do not place your trust in numbers alone, as your trust was in Allah Ta'ala at Badr, and your trust was in Allah at Uhud, and your trust was in Allah at every stage. At this stage of your victory too, do not get intoxicated with strength of numbers. And that lesson was learned, and again Allah Ta'ala used that as an occasion. Finally, there came the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to send the first army northwards towards the Roman territories. It was the most difficult time. It was the time of the Battle of Tabuk. And that battle was the final test. The final test that Allah Ta'ala used to separate the dependable from the undependable, because very soon after that, within a year and a half after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be with us no longer. And these men who had gone through test after test, who had been tested and separated from the undependable, eventually when he would leave this world, he would leave it in the hands of these men. And now we go through each of those tests and we look at what Allah Ta'ala says. Let's look at the Battle of Badr. In the second year after the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is in Madina Munawwara. A year had passed already since they have made Hijrah. They get news that a caravan coming back from Syria is going to pass by Medina, is on its way back to Makkah. And the Meccans had taken a lot from them. Many of them had to leave behind everything that they owned to make Hijrah in the way of Allah. So there's a state of war. There's a state of war. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and asks them that, what do you think about this idea? Let's waylay this caravan. We had a state of war with them. Let's capture the booty that's coming back from Syria towards Makkah. The people in Makkah get this news, and immediately they dispatch a group of fighters, several hundred of them. They send them up to Medina, protect our caravan. Now, while this was the idea in the mind of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well as the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had no intention of war. They had no intention of fighting. Their intention was of waylaying this particular caravan. But Allah Ta'ala had a purpose far beyond that. Allah Ta'ala had a purpose far beyond that. The purpose was that on that day there needs to be established a criterion that for all times to come would be a hallmark whereby to judge haq against batil. That would become Yawm al-Furqan, Yawm al-Taqal Jam'an, the day that is a criterion, the day these two armies met. So at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, Allah Ta'ala says, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تلت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. Allah Ta'ala makes a statement about what is a true believer. إذا ذكر الله, if Allah's name is mentioned, then وجلت قلوبهم, their hearts shake. وإذا تلت عليهم آياته, when the ayat, the verses of Allah Ta'ala are recited to them, zadatum imanan, it increases them in faith. Alladhina yuqimuna as-salah, they are men who uphold the salah. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, they spend from what Allah Ta'ala had given them. And then Allah Ta'ala makes this poignant declaration. He says, ul mu'minuna haqqan. You ever see a believer? Such are the true believers. These are the true believers. Now we take this ayah and we compare it to another ayah, just a few ayat before that, towards the end of Surah Al-Anfal, towards the end of the surah. This is the beginning of the surah. Towards the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. Allah doesn't leave it for you and me to use our own intellect to determine who are those who Allah Ta'ala speaks about here, who are those whose hearts shake when they hear the Qur'an, who are those whose iman increase when they hear the Qur'an being recited, and whose hearts shake when they hear the name of Allah. He says, you want to know who are those? Those who emigrated in the cause of Islam. الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا, and they made jihad in the cause of Islam. بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ, with what they own and with themselves, with their bodies as well. That's one group. وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا, those who gave refuge and assisted them. Those are the Ansar. The Muhajireen and the Ansar, Allah Ta'ala says, for all to hear, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. These are the true believers. These are the true believers. And very soon Allah will relate this particular story of how He used them to establish haqq upon this earth. أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. And Allah goes on to say, لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة. They have high levels with Allah Ta'ala, and there is forgiveness for them as well. In other words, if they happen to have made any mistakes, if they happen to have committed any particular error, any particular misdemeanor, they are not prophets, they are not ma'soom, they have certain errors, but Allah has already promised them lahum maghfirah. Allah has already promised them that maghfirah. When Allah has promised them that maghfirah, how does it behove any of us to continue harping upon this one made this mistake, that one made the other mistake? In any event, the surah goes on. كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. Has Allah Ta'ala took you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your home? You had no intention of battle. Your intention was to come out and waylay the caravan. Similarly, there were other men around you. They had no intention of fighting. A group of the mu'mineen at that time were averse to fighting. They had never engaged Quraysh militarily on the field. That never before had it happened. Allah Ta'ala says in another ayah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Afterwards, in war was legislated. It is not something which you like. It is something which you dislike. But here, a group of the mu'mineen were not interested in fighting. They say, Rasulullah, we came for this. But by this time, Allah Ta'ala changed the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he starts asking them the question, what do you think about? Leave this caravan. Let's look at Abu Sufyan and that particular group of people that are coming from Makkah to defend them. Now Allah Ta'ala wants something else to happen. Allah Ta'ala goes on. Further in surah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. Allah made you a promise. One of the two will be yours. He hasn't said which one yet. There are two groups. The one group is the caravan, laden with goods. The other group is which one? This armed group that has come from Makkah. Allah Ta'ala says, one of the two you will get. Which one is it that you want? Normally, man will want that which is easy, that which brings something into the pocket. Not the one where you're going to have to defend yourself with your sword and attack the enemy. So Allah Ta'ala said, one of the two. وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. You wanted the one that's powerless, the one that's not armed, the one that's not going to require a battle to conquer. That's the one which you wanted. That's what you wanted. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعْ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala did not want a waylaying. Allah Ta'ala didn't want the capturing of spoils. Because a much greater purpose had to be established today. What was that purpose? وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ. Allah wanted لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ. Truth had to be established in the words of Allah Ta'ala on this day. Truth had to be established, and the roots and the tail of batil had to be cut off forever. وَيَقْطَعْ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبَطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ. This had to happen. This battle of Badr had to take place because this is the criterion day. This is the day when Haqq will be separated from Batil so that Allah will establish Haqq as Haqq. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبَطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ. And Batil needs to be vanquished and destroyed forevermore. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Even though the evildoers don't like the idea. Eventually the battle ensued. They had no intention. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then spoke to the Sahaba and told them, what do you think about this idea? We attack them. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu first stay silent. They say, Rasulullah, what do you think? He, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gives them the indication. Among the muhajireen, Sayyidina Miqdad ibn Aswad says, Ya Rasulullah, لَن نَقُولَ لَكَمَا كَمَا قَالَتْ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ لِمُوسَى. We are not going to say to you like Banu Israel said to Musa, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You and your Rabb go, you go and fight, we will sit here. No. اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا مَعْكُمْ مُقَاتِلُونَ. Ya Rasulullah, go you and your Rabb. We are together with you, we'll stand with you wherever you want to go. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the question once again. Who is he asking? The Muhajirin have given their answer. The Ansar need to answer for themselves. They need to answer. And from among them, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu speaks. And he says, أَإِيَّانَا تُرِيدُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is it the answer that you want from us? Do you want the answer from us, Ya Rasulullah? لَإِنْ سِرْتَ بِنَا إِلَىٰ بَرْكِ الْغِمَادِ مِنْ ذِي يَمَنٍ لَنَسِيرَنَّ مَعَكَ. If you travel from here now at this moment, you decide to travel from here to Barkul Ghimad in Yemen, we are going to be with you all the way, Ya Rasulullah. وَلَنْ نَكُونَ كَمَنْ قَالُوا لِمُوسَى. And he repeats the words of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. We are not going to be like those who said, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا. No, we are going to be with you every step of the way. بَلْ اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا مَعْكُمْ مُتَّبِعُونَ. And he says, وَلَعَلَّكَ خَرَجْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِأَمْرٍ. Perhaps you came out with a certain intention. Your intention was to do what? To waylay the caravan. ثُمَّ أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَكَ أَمْرًا غَيْرَهُ. Then Allah Ta'ala changed your intention from there to one of war. And now I tell you, Ya Rasulullah, from our side, from the Ansar side, فانظر الذي احدث الله اليك وامض له. Look at that which Allah Ta'ala had informed you of. Look at that idea which Allah Ta'ala brought into your mind. Go towards it, do it by all means, because we say to you, سِلْ حِبَالَ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَاقْطَعْ حِبَالَ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَقَاتِلْ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَسَالِمْ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَخُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا شِئْتَ. You can maintain ties with whomever you wish, we are with you. You can cut ties from whoever you wish, Rasulullah, fight and wage war against whomever you wish, we stand with you. You can decide to have peace with whomever we wish and take from our wealth whatever we wish, Ya Rasulullah, we are with you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muhajirin and the Ansar decide the time has come. The time has now come. Tomorrow will be the battle. This evening, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engage in? If tastaghithuna rabbakum. Allah Ta'ala says, when you were calling upon Allah, when you were making dua to Allah, and who was that? All the Sahaba were making this dua, but chief amongst them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. He was raising his hands, and he says, Allahumma aina alladhi wa'adtana, Allahumma anjiz lana ma wa'adtana. Ya Allah, you have promised us something. Allah, fulfill that promise for us. Allahumma, and he makes this particular dua. He says, Allahumma, in tahlik hadhihi al-isabatu. If this group of people today are going to be destroyed, this 313 men of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, if today they are going to be destroyed, لا تعبد في الأرض أبدا. Never again after today will ibad of Allah happen on this earth. Because these are the men who are responsible through your will, who will be the ones through whom ليحق الحق ويبطل الباطل. Haqq will be established through these 313 men. It is them that Allah has chosen. Them that Allah has chosen together with his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand in the cause of the defense of Islam at this moment, to establish haq and to destroy batil. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu comes and sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaging in that dua. And the shawl falls from the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he raises his hands high up in dua. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr says, Hasbuka ya Rasulullah. Sufficient. It is sufficient. Allah will most certainly fulfill his dua. The next day the battle takes place. The battle takes place. That battle is not a matter about who became shaheed as much. It's not about who won the battle, who did not win the battle. It's not about who was taken as captives. It was about the eternal battle between Haqq and Batil. These were the men who Allah Ta'ala chose to fulfill that particular task. And so high did their status become in the sight of Allah. So high did their status become that afterwards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about them. He spoke about them at an occasion when one of the men who were present at that battle was guilty of something that seemed like treason against Islam. Hatib ibn Abi Balta was a Sahabi. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to march upon Makkah in the 8th year after the Hijrah, he was guilty of sending some intelligence to Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want any intelligence to go to Makkah about his coming, and Hatib sent some intelligence. Sayyidina Umar said, Da'ni adribu unuqa hadha al-munafiq ya Rasulullah. This man is a munafiq. Let me cut off his head. Let me behead him because he has sent information to the Makkans. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, impossible. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a is one of the people of Badr. And وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ طَلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. What do you know? These people of Badr, their status is so high that Allah Ta'ala on that day, through the weight of the deed which they had achieved, through the weight of the deed through which Haqq was established and Batil was vanquished on that day, such a high status Allah Ta'ala gave them that Allah told them on that day, now, after today, do what you wish is already forgiven. That deed of yours was such a great deed that we believe in what? The weighing of deeds. You have a good deed and you have a bad deed. Anything that any one of them would do after that day will never be weighty enough to outweigh the fact of them having been present at the Battle of Badr. This is how Allah Ta'ala looks at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were present at Badr. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look at them. This is the maqam and the status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the Quran and in the Sunnah. 1 year later would be the Battle of Uhud. Now, the idea is not to tell the entire story of Uhud, but rather to see what does Allah Ta'ala say about them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Medina towards Uhud, and a group of the munafiqeen are with them as well. They were but eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends up with a few hundred men at Uhud, but Abdullah ibn Ubay and a group of the munafiqeen, they turn back. They say, no, there's going to be no battle today, we're going to go back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is left with the muhajirin and the ansar, the battle ensues. The story that we know is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put a number of archers on a particular hill and told them, stick to your place there. Do not leave your post. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid, at that time was not a Muslim yet. He was in command of the cavalry of Quraysh. He came from behind. And the rout that had happened was on account of those people who unfortunately left their post and ran to collect of the booty. And Islam and Muslims had to learn a lesson from here. They had to learn a lesson. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in Surah Al-Imran, where He says that, سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ الرُّعْبَ بِمَا أَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. We will cast fear in the hearts of the mushrik. Fear in the hearts of the mushrik, and for the first half of the battle, that's exactly what happened. The mushrikeen were repelled. The mushrikeen were repelled, and for a while, Islam was victorious. And then there was a group of people that left their post. And Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ. Allah Ta'ala had promised you victory. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah Ta'ala had given His promise, and He fulfilled His promise the moment you were decimating the kuffar. You were decimating them in the battlefield. That was the fulfillment of the promise of Allah Ta'ala. But that lasted only as long as what? حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. That continued until such time that you lost courage. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And you started arguing. That Sahabi who was the commander of the archers was told by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not to move. Some of his archers started moving when he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't go. They say the battle is over. There was a dispute between them. This kind of disputes, this kind of displays of disunity takes away the help of Allah Ta'ala when it is there. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ. And you disobeyed. مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. After Allah Ta'ala has already started showing you the victory that you loved. Because now you became divided into two groups. مِنْكُمْ مَن يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَن يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some wanted the dunya and some wanted the akhirah. And then, ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ. Then Allah Ta'ala turned you away from them. To test you now, to afflict you with something. And what happened then? Then they started fleeing. Because from behind came the cavalry of Quraysh, and the hearts lost their courage. And they started fleeing. إِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ وَلَا تَلْوُونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. When you ran up the incline, and you did not turn around to say anything, the battle, you were concerned with yourselves at that moment. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. And from behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was announcing, إِلَيَّ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِلَيَّ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Come towards me. And then you heard the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمَّا بِغَمٍّ. Initially your concern was, what about me, saving my life? And then there was a new concern in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been left behind. And many of them started imagining Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has lost his life during this battle. But during this battle, there was a number of men who even in the heat of battle, in the most severest moments, when the arrow was flying directly at the throat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up stands a man, Talhat ibn Ubaidillah, stretches out his own hand, catches the arrow before it can reach the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu afterwards used to say that, ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ كُلُّهُ لِطَلْحَ. That entire day belongs to Talha on account of the manner in which he saved the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That group of the Ansar who stood with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a huge group of mushrikeen was attacking him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Who will repel them? And I promise him Jannah. And one after the other, the Ansar step forward. One goes, he becomes shaheed. Another one goes, he becomes shaheed. One after the other, they go, they stand up in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those few moments, the iman was shaken. For those few moments, the heart was consumed by grief. The heart was consumed by regret. What had we done? What has happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then comes down from Allah Ta'ala's side, Allah sends down the nu'as. At that moment, the true mu'min, what will happen to him? In the middle of the battle, he'll suddenly find himself falling asleep. He'll find himself covered by nu'as from Allah Ta'ala's side. Falling asleep, the sword will fall from your hand, because that is how Allah Ta'ala brings comfort to the hearts of those believers. In any event, what happened thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu are able to withdraw towards the incline of the mountain. There they ascertain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive. A great mistake had been done. Why was there disobedience? Why did some of them turn and flee? Allah Ta'ala does not leave that for you and me to decide. He has selected this group of people. He has selected them. And when they make a mistake, is it for the rest of the ummah now to come and say that we will say that these were evil people, these were traitors? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ. Those people who turned and fled on that day, Those people who turned and fled in that day, you have no right to say anything about that, about them. What happened was that إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. Shaitan managed to make them slip on account of some things which they had done. Those things are between them and Allah. If Allah decides to forgive them, then He can so forgive them. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْهُمْ. Allah says, they are my servants. They made a mistake. I have forgiven them. If Allah Ta'ala says, I have forgiven them, those who turned and fled. If I have forgiven them, that moment was for them to learn a lesson, for them to become closer to Allah Ta'ala, not for the rest of the ummah to forever point a finger and say, look at these sahaba, they turned and fled. They had to learn a lesson. Some of them stood firm with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for those who turned and fled, well, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. They made a mistake. Remember what Allah Ta'ala said, أُولَيْكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. They have maghfirah from Allah Ta'ala's side. Does anyone object after Allah Ta'ala has decided to forgive someone? The battle is over. The battle is over and the Muslims are crestfallen. They are downtrodden, crestfallen. They feel that they have just undergone a great defeat. Now comes the test of Iman. Immediately thereafter, they go back into Medina. Shoulders are hanging. Morale is very low. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets news that Quraysh is gathering on the outskirts, outside of Medina. They're coming in for one final sweep. They're going to completely obliterate Islam and Muslims. They find that Muslims are now weak at this moment. It's time for us to make a last stand and complete and finish them off. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu are informed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This crestfallen group, this group with their morale dragging on the ground, what can they do? Normally you'd expect this group of people to say, well, we've lost once, what can we do now? Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. This particular group, after they had been so severely wounded, after they lost their morale, after they had become crestfallen, at that moment Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again calls upon them. Once again calls upon them to stand in defense of Islam. What do? Immediately they step up, they form themselves into a battalion, and they start marching out in service of Islam immediately thereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those of them that do well, and who fear Allah Ta'ala, they will have a great reward with Allah Ta'ala. Despite the fact that they lost the war, and a second war was starting. The second war was a propaganda war. The propaganda war was, they were being told, there's a huge group of people outside. They have come together, they're going to destroy you. الَّذِينَ قَالَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. They have come together out there, they're going to destroy you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, you must fear them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. They were being told that you're going to be defeated. You've been defeated once, you're going to be defeated a second time. What did he do to them? It didn't reduce their iman by one, but it increased their iman. فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. And what word came out of their mouths? وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best guardian. We do not care who is standing outside there. Is it Islam that they want to harm? Is it Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they want to harm? We will put our own chest in this way. We will stand with our bodies to defend Islam. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. So they went out there, there was no battle, there was, although propaganda turned out to be false, but Allah Ta'ala wanted to show us something. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show us that even at the moment of defeat, they never lost heart for a moment. They never, immediately thereafter, they were prepared to stand up again. Once again be the servants of Islam, once again be the defenders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A year and a half later, what would happen? Banu Nadir. Banu Nadir, this particular tribe of Jews that inhabited Medina, they became guilty of treason against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were expelled. Once they were expelled, their lands were now to be taken over. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes over their lands. This wasn't taken over by war. This is a category of spoils that we call fay. Now once fay is captured, who has the right of distributing it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the right. It's not to be distributed between the mujahideen. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the right. And then Allah Ta'ala tells him, how should he go about distributing it? It should be distributed فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِلِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. It is for Allah, it is for His Rasul, it is for the poor, the indigent, the family, all of those. But that's not all. Then Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, who else does it belong to? لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Who also has a share in it? Now listen to the tender terms in which Allah Ta'ala describes these Sahaba, these Muhajirin. He says, the ones who have a share in this wealth also is the Muhajirin, which emigrants, which people that emigrated in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Alladhina ukhrijoo min diyarihim wa amwalihim. Those who were driven out of their homes. For who did they do it? For Allah. And Allah speaking in appreciation of their deed. In appreciation of their deed, Allah Ta'ala says, it belongs to those Muhajirin who for my sake were driven out of their homes and out of their families. Why did they do so? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. All they wanted was Allah's grace. All they wanted was Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. They left their homes because they wanted to defend, they wanted to help Allah's deen, they wanted to help His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such people, says Allah Ta'ala, what are they? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. You want to see a truthful person? These muhajirin are the truth. Forget what stands in the books of history. So forget what stands in warped and corrupted history books. This is the greatest history book of them all. This is Allah Ta'ala saying that these muhajirin, the act which they did for my sake is such that I tell you today that ulaika humu sadiqun. If there are truthful people on the face of the earth, it is these muhajirin. This Abu Bakr, this Umar, this all of these people who made hijrah in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And connect this ayah now, ulaika humu sadiqun, with another ayah elsewhere, where Allah Ta'ala says, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. When you choose sides, then first of all observe the taqwa of Allah Ta'ala. And if you're going to choose sides, stand on the side of the sadiqeen. Who are the sadiqeen? The ideal, the archetypal sadiqeen of the Qur'an are who? الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. Those who are driven out of their homes for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And that's not the only one. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks about that other group of people who are prepared to sacrifice for His cause. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Then there's this other group of people who have been inhabiting Medina as a home from before already. Not only have they been inhabiting Medina, such was their iman, it is as if they inhabit iman, as if iman is their home. They live within iman, this is Ansar. تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those muhajirin who came from Makkah to come and live with them. They didn't call them foreigners. They didn't drive them out of their homes. They didn't call them refugees. They loved them when they came to Medina. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, share your wealth with them. They were prepared to share with it. And Allah was watching. And Allah saw what they did. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about His appreciation of their deeds. الَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who emigrate towards them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. To what the muhajirin, have them been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the spoils of war? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives anything to them, the Ansar have no problem with it whatsoever. When they themselves have to share their wealth with them, they have no problem. لا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا. There's nothing in their hearts, no need for it. They give it wholeheartedly. By all means, this is mine, you take half of it. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Allah describes the Ansar as people who do what? They give preference to others over themselves. They might themselves have a need. They give preference to others. They say, I've got so much, you take half. Sometimes they say, I've only got so much, you take everything by all means, because you are my brother. For the sake of who? For the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The one who is saved from the greed of his own heart, such a person, says Allah Ta'ala, these are the successful ones. The muhajirin are called the truthful ones. The Ansar, Allah Ta'ala lovingly calls them the successful ones. And then Allah prescribed for us, for the rest of the ummah, to come from that time till today. Allah prescribed for us what attitude to adopt. He doesn't leave it to you to decide which attitude you want to adopt towards them. He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Those who come after the muhajirin and the ansar, what attitude did they adopt towards them? They should adopt the following attitude. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. Before you say anything about those great people who lived once upon a time, think about the fact that you are a sinner. Before you start pointing a finger at the mistakes of this one and the mistake of that one, before you start accusing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu of having sinned against Allah, of having committed treason against the cause of Islam, of having usurped the rights of others, first think of your own sin and say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. After you ask Allah Ta'ala for your own forgiveness, then you look at those great people. And then you say, Ya Allah, forgive not only us, If those people might have had any sins, if my eye fall upon something that I see, something that my eye might perceive as not being 100% the correct thing to have done, then Ya Allah, forgive لِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those of our brothers who preceded us in the faith, those muhajirin whom you love so much, those ansar whom you love so much, Ya Allah, forgive them for whatever sins of theirs I might perceive as a sin. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Our human hearts are such that sometimes we see things and then we think, how could such a person ever have done such a thing? How could Muawiyah have done this? How could Amr ibn al-As have done this? How could that person have done it? How could this person have done that? Allah Ta'ala says, it's not our place to do that. It is not our haq to do that. What should we be doing? We should be asking, Ya Allah, I'm human, those kind of ideas can come into my heart, but I beg you and beseech, Ya Allah, take any such feeling of rancor, any such feeling of hatred, which by my human nature must keep into my heart, take it out of my heart. لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. Take it out of my heart. Let me not fall prey to my human weaknesses. ربنا إنك رؤوف الرحيم. Oh Allah, you are most kind, you are most merciful. Allah has prescribed for us exactly how we are supposed to go about dealing with the Muhajirin and the Ansar, thinking about the Muhajirin and the Ansar, what attitude should be adopted towards them. Thereafter, just a few months thereafter, came the battle of the trench. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muhajirin and the Ansar in Medina, from outside come the Quraysh. The trench is dug on the outside to keep them out. That battle again Allah Ta'ala uses for a particular purpose. Like the battle of Uhud, I didn't get time to go into the manner in which Allah Ta'ala separated the munafiq from the mu'min over there. But we will look at it here. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. Remember the ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها. Those جنود, those troops, those soldiers, they came from the outside. They came to surround Medina. Allah Ta'ala was going to protect Medina. Now Allah Ta'ala speaks very briefly about two particular groups. Initially Allah Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqun. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. These battles came about so that everyone could see the face of a munafiq. And Allah Ta'ala gives us the signs of these munafiqeen. Who are these munafiqeen? The munafiqeen and those in whose hearts there was this blight, this illness, the sickness, they started saying, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. If you would walk through Medina on that day, and you would hear the whisperings going through the marketplace, through the place of gathering, you would hear some people saying that, no, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took us on a wild goose chase here. He has promised us certain things we're not going to fulfill. مَا وَعَدَنَا. Allah and His Rasul are not going to fulfill the promises which they made to us. We are done for. مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. This wasn't a promise, this was a deception. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا. You cannot stand here. You cannot stand against this particular enemy. There's Quraysh, there's Ghatafan, there are all these tribes. How are you going to stand against them? وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمُ النَّبِيَّ. A group of them come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرًا. They say, we can't stand here at the trench. We can't stand in the front lines. We have to go and protect our homes because our homes are exposed. وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرًا. Allah exposes the face of the munafiq. The munafiqs are those who will come say this kind of thing. وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرًا. Their homes are not exposed at all. إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. All that they want is to run away from the battlefield. On the other hand, there's another group. Who's that other group? That other group is the one who takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There's a beautiful example for you in the Messenger of Allah. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For what kind of person? The person who has hope to meet Allah one day, who has this expectation that he's going to meet Allah one day, and that he's going to appear in the day of Qiyamah someday or the other. And وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Whose heart is filled with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. What does Allah say about them? وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. These mu'minun, whose example was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the munafiqun saw the ahzab on the outside, and the courage left them, they also saw the munafiqun on the outside. But what did they do? وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. That mu'minun, that muhajirin ansar, they also saw them. وَلَمَّا رَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is exactly what Allah and His Rasul promised us. They promised us that we will be tested. We will be tested to the utmost limits, and this is the test that Allah Ta'ala has arrived. And unlike the munafiqeen who said, it is going to be what? A promise of deception. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. A mu'min says at that moment that Allah's promise is true. The promise of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. The fact that the enemy appeared on our horizons, the fact that the enemy has appeared in the outskirts of Medina, doesn't mean we lose heart. At this moment, we accept what Allah Ta'ala has brought about. We accept it, and our iman increased. That was the state of the true mu'min. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. Among these mu'minin, among these believers, Allah Ta'ala says, there's such a group, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. They made a promise to Allah Ta'ala, and they kept to that promise exactly. If they said they are going to give their lives for Allah Ta'ala, that was a true promise, and they kept that true promise. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them have already fulfilled their promise by giving their lives for the cause of Islam. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And those who made the promise but have not yet had the opportunity to give their lives, they are still waiting. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Are they waiting like munafiqeen? He says, no. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They haven't changed one iota. They haven't changed one iota. They are still as truthful to the promise which they made to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once upon a time. Allah is speaking about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Let any other history book say whatever it wants to. The final, ultimate history book is Allah Ta'ala speaking. The greatest historian is Allah Ta'ala himself, who knows the internal, knows the external, who knows what's in the heart, who knows what's upon the tongue, and to what extent does the tongue correspond to the heart. And he says, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And what Allah Ta'ala brings it about in this way, لِيَجْزِي اللَّهُ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ. Because Allah Ta'ala brings these afflictions, these tests upon them, in order to give them their full reward for the truthfulness which they display in the face of such calamities. And as for the munafiqeen, وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِن شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. As for the munafiqeen, either Allah Ta'ala will punish them now, or if He wishes, He can forgive them for that as well. So once again, this particular battle of the Ahzab was used that the munafiqeen should show their face by the conduct which they display, and by the same token, the mu'min should display themselves, who they are, identify themselves by their conduct, and Allah Ta'ala will be the one to pass judgment that these are the ones whom I love, and those are the ones whom I detest. Not very long thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marches to Mecca for the purpose of performing Umrah. He stopped by Quraysh at Hudaybiyah. And again, the intention is not to go into that entire story, but to go into the manner in which Allah Ta'ala uses this occasion to show the loyalty that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to their Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the loyalty that they had to the cause of Islam, their preparedness to sacrifice whatever it might take. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu as his representative to Mecca. Out of all the people present, he would choose Uthman because he trusts Uthman. He would choose Uthman because Uthman has a good standing with some family in Mecca. He says, Uthman, you go on my behalf. Uthman goes into Mecca, and rumor reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Uthman has been killed by Quraysh. False rumor. But it reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This false rumor then spurs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sahaba into action. He says, if this is what has happened and Quraysh has broken their word in this way, then come, I sit under the tree and all the Sahaba come, place your hands in my hand, that at this moment we pledge to fight till death. If they have broken their word and killed Uthman, then for the sake of Uthman, for the sake of the breaking of that pledge, we are going to fight. Each of you come and place your hands in my hand. And Allah Ta'ala sees this happening. And Allah Ta'ala sees the loyalty, the truthfulness, the steadfastness with which they come. Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali, each one of them, and all the other Sahaba who were present there, as many of them as they were, with the exception of one munafiq person who just happened to be passing by looking for his camel and didn't come. He's the only exception. For every other person who came to place his hands in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't intended to be a battle. It wasn't intended to be a battle. It was intended to be a display of iman and loyalty. And Allah Ta'ala says about it, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. When they came there to you and placed their hands in your hands and gave you their oath of loyalty, at that moment Allah Ta'ala saw all of that and He was pleased with what He saw. Allah was pleased with what He saw. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah knew exactly what was in the hearts of those people. And all that Allah saw in that heart was iman. And all that He saw in there was truthfulness, loyalty, steadfastness, and preparedness to sacrifice for the cause of Islam and the love of Allah and His Rasul in those hearts. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah then decided to send down upon them that special tranquility which He sends down upon His awliya. He sends it down upon them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. He gave them, there's going to be no battle now, there's going to be no conquest now, but soon there will be another conquest. That will be the battle of Khaybar that will come afterwards. There will still be the conquest of Makkah that will come sometime in the future. The idea was not, what Allah Ta'ala's objective here was not to have them battle. Allah's objective was to display that these are the men who I chose for the companionship of my messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah is pleased with them. And he goes on to say, مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Allah describes to us. Allah gives us a character sketch of the people with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, you want to know what they are like? Don't go and consult that history book. You don't even need to go and consult any other book for this matter. Come to Allah's Quran and listen to Him speaking. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ They are most stern against the kafir who stands in the way of Islam. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ But between themselves, what were they? They were people who had the greatest feelings of mercy and kindness towards one another. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا Am I at the right place? تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّنًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا مُحَمَّدٌ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّنًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا You want to see what their lives are like? You want to see where they are? You go to their houses at night, you go to their houses at the time of Salah, where do you see them? You see them rukkan sujood. You won't find them engaged in nonsense talk. You won't find them engaged simply in pursuing the dunya, sitting and making riba of one another, plotting against one another, usurping the rights of one another. You want to see what their lives are like? Allah tells you their lives are one of ruku and sujood. Tarahum rukkan sujada. Why do they do so? Not for the sake of show, not for the sake of ostentation. They do so yabtaghuna fadlam min Allahi wa ridwana. They seek Allah's pleasure, they seek Allah Ta'ala's grace. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ A life of ibadah is theirs to the extent that look at their faces, you will see the sign of sujood on their faces. Look at it. Allah Ta'ala speaks with pride about that particular group of people. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ And Allah Ta'ala boasts of this group of people, not just in this Quran of His. Nations that came before, that never even knew what these people are going to be like. In the Torah and the Injil, Allah Ta'ala boasted about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ Long before they came into this world, Allah was boasting about them in the Torah to Musa alayhi salam and his people. وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ In the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, Allah was describing them by saying, كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَاءً Like the small little plant that shoots out his stem. فَأَزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظْ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوْقِ The small, tender little plant shoots out its stem, grows steadily, grows stronger, becomes sturdy. أخرج شطأه فآزر فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه Now it stands strong forth. It started in Mecca as a downtrodden community of Ghuraba. And now it's a community that's ready to take on any force. And Allah Ta'ala says, I'm pleased with them. And I described them in this manner to the Yahud and to the Nasara before. Forget the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. So high is the status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع The ones who planted this particular seed. When they look at the seed standing there now, I want you to look at another. In your mind's eye, call up a picture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his last days. When he opens the curtain and looks at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he's the planter of their seed. He planted that seed, he saw that seed growing in the days when Bilal was being tortured in Makkah. He saw that seed growing when Hamza lost his life at Uhud. He saw that seed growing when so many Sahaba became shaheed at Bilal. He saw that seed growing year after year, day after day, and now he can stand and says, Alhamdulillah, my seed has grown. When I look at them, يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ The planter is so impressed by what he sees in front of them. Allah is that plant and Allah boasts of them. Throughout the ages, Allah Ta'ala has boasted of the companions of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But by the same token, as much as Allah would be impressed by them, as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be proud of them, يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ By the same token, there would be others who would be filled with rage at seeing this community that yesterday had been this downtrodden community of strangers that we could do with it as we like. And suddenly they've become the power that dictates terms to us now. They dictate terms to us. So they were always going to be the enemies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who are filled with rage at the successes of this ummah that came about on account of this group of people who gathered themselves around Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. Allah promises them maghfirah. Yes, they are fallible. Yes, they are human. Their wars came about afterwards. Wars were fought, about which you have heard and you might hear more. There was Jamal that was fought, Siffin was fought. Accusations were made from either side. If there were any sins, Allah has told us, your work is not to indulge in judgment. Your work is not to pass judgment on this party or the other. Your work is to make dua, ya Allah, take away any rancor, any hard feelings that we might have in our heart against them. Because Allah has promised them maghfiratan wa ajran azima. Allah has already promised them Jannah. Allah has already promised them maghfirah. What do you and I have to say thereafter? We can only aspire to live up to that high and noble ideal of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some years later, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum conquered Makkah in the 8th year after the Hijrah. And they were filled with a sense of achievement. Our numbers today are much more. We march upon Makkah with several thousands of people, and now the people of Makkah have become Muslim as well. And now we're marching to Hunayn, and there the Arabs try to make a last stand. And as they march into that valley called Hunayn, the Kuffar managed to pull a stratagem on them. From on top of the hills, they roll down what appears to be huge stones. And at that moment, Allah Ta'ala takes away that confidence out of the hearts of the initial first group, vanguard of Muslims that march into it. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرِ وَلَقَدْ لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْن. Many places Allah Ta'ala had given you His help. And even on the day of Hunayn, He had given you His help, but only after a lesson had to be learned. إِنْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. You were so impressed with your numbers. But remember, the one who's making your tarbiyah, the one who's training you, the one who's preparing you for the work of taking the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the world, he needs to teach you another lesson. Your tawakkul must be upon Allah, not upon your numbers. إِذَا عَجَبَتُمْ كَفْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. Your numbers were of no avail to you. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And for those few moments, the earth became narrow, as wide as the earth is. You felt the earth clenching down, cramping down upon you. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. You turned around and fled. Because your tawakkul was not upon Allah Ta'ala. You need to learn another lesson still. You need to learn a lesson that this is not to be done. And immediately thereafter, when this happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself marched forward on his mule. Alone went forward. A few sahaba around him. And then he got off his mule and alone, leaving that little group of the sahaba behind him. Alone with his own noble and sacred personality, marched forward, bent down, picked up a handful of sand, threw it at the face of the kuffar and says, Shahatil wujuh. And then he says, where is Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, my uncle? And he says, Abbas, announce to everyone, Aina ashabu shajara, Aina ashabu suratil baqara. Where are those men who had given the pledge under the tree at Hudaybiyah? Where are those men of suratul baqara? Now Abbas said this very loud voice. And the sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were fleeing for their lives for a moment, they heard this call and remembered the pledge of the shajara of Hudaybiyah, and they turn around and they said, Labbaik ya Rasulallah. Here we are. They come back, the kuffar are defeated. Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach them a lesson once again, that at no moment must it become such that you become self-sufficient. I don't need anything else, our numbers are sufficient. No, tawakkul must always be upon Allah Ta'ala. And then came the last important battle, which was the battle of Tabuk. This battle came at a time of great difficulty. It was shortly before the harvest and everyone's pockets empty. Everyone's pocket is empty. There isn't much sustenance. There isn't much of an income. At this very difficult hour, the call comes, jihad. Everyone get ready. Everyone in Medina, get ready. We're going to have to go for jihad. And this time it's towards the north, towards the Roman territories. What's going to happen now? So people's iman is tested once again. Allah Ta'ala taught them lesson after lesson. Allah had separated the munafiq from the mu'min on several occasions. The last test was to come now. And before Allah Ta'ala tells us what the test is like, He tells us, first understand the demographics of the Arabian Peninsula. Who inhabits this Arabian Peninsula? First they are going to be the Arab, the desert Arabs. The desert Arabs, their iman is what kind of iman? They had come to Medina, they had become Muslim. Are they solid mu'mineen? They didn't stay 23 years with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their nature is completely different. They hadn't had the opportunity of his islah and his tarbiyah. So Allah Ta'ala says about them, Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufran wa nifaqa. They are most severe in the kufr and the nifaq, in the hypocrisy and unbelief. وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرِ. The Arab, at the same time, they are just awaiting the vicissitudes of circumstances to change. When things change, then they're going to go over to the other side. But all those Arab, most certainly there are some good believers as well. وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ. There are those Arab who believe. And whatever they're spent in the cause of Islam, it's a means of coming nearer to Allah Ta'ala. So those are the Arab, the people in the outlying areas of the peninsula. They are three different groups. There are some of them who are munafiqeen, and some of them are good mu'mineen. But we're not speaking about those on the outskirts for now. In Medina we come now. Leave Medina out for a moment. Come into Medina. Who populates Medina? Who are the majority of the population of Medina? وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. The early pioneers, the muhajirin and the ansar, these are the ones who Allah Ta'ala says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Once again they get a seal of approval from Allah Ta'ala's side. Allah had prepared for them جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. That is the bulk of the people of Medina. And there are some in Medina. وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. There are some hypocrites in Medina, most certainly. But are those hypocrites, do they go by the name of Abu Bakr and Umar? Do they go by the name of Abu Huraira and Talha and Zubair? No, this is a small little group whose names are known by this time. Why? Because they have displayed themselves. They have displayed themselves time after time. So this is one little group. Allah Ta'ala says, there are some munafiqeen outside of Medina and some in Medina as well. And then there's another group, وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم. That was that group of mu'mineen who had failed to join Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he went on the expedition of Tabuk. The ones who went with him without question, what does Allah Ta'ala say about them? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. The ones who stayed behind, who did not accompany Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the bulk of them were munafiqeen, and a small group of them had made that mistake and didn't go. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back, their grief was such that they tied themselves, Abu Lubaba and his companions tied themselves to the pillars of the masjid and said, I won't leave this masjid until Allah Ta'ala forgives me. Now Allah Ta'ala already said, Munafiq, Muhajirin Ansar, these are Allah's beloved ones. And these people, اعترفوا بذنوبهم. They have admitted their mistakes. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They have done some good deeds and they have done this bad deed as well. Now, is it for us to judge? Allah Ta'ala says, no. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Soon Allah will forgive them as well. Then there's another group. They had also failed to go. They had also failed to go, but they didn't tie themselves up into the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is the final test of who's a mu'min and who's a munafiq. Those who came to ask permission to stay behind falsely, Allah Ta'ala says, those are munafiqeen. Don't even worry about them. لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Why did you even give them permission? You would have seen very clearly who's a munafiq. But this group of mu'min, who unfortunately through their deeds appeared to have been munafiq, they had to go a severe test. A group of three people, Hilal ibn Umayyah, Ka'b ibn Malik, and one other person, they had to go undergo a severe test. They were ostracized by the rest of the community. Ostracized because they're sitting on the dividing line, the gray area between the mu'min and the munafiq. For them to come back into the white area of the mu'mineen, they had to undergo the severe test. Once they had undergone the severe test, then Allah Ta'ala announces to all of us, this was the final test. The final test is over, and now Allah Ta'ala announces to all the world, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah has extended his tawbah towards the Nabi. Wow, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need any tawbah. He doesn't need tawbah, he doesn't need a tawbah from Allah Ta'ala's side, but tashreefan, in honoring him, you are the sabab of Muhammad, the tawbah is going to give him to the rest of the community, so your name is mentioned first. And Allah extends his tawbah to who? To the muhajireen. Whatever they might have done which is wrong, Allah announces his tawbah to them. To the ansar, and all of those who followed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most difficult of hours, and all of those whose hearts almost turned and stayed behind but made tawbah, Allah Ta'ala gives all of them tawbah. And what about the three people? What about the three people who had to be ostracized? They had to be ostracized. Hatta idha daqat alayhim al-ardu bima rahubat. The earth became narrow upon them. They had nowhere to go. Such was the ostracizing that was done against them. They were boycotted to such an extent until they knew that Allah malja min Allah illa ilayhi. There's only one place to run back to, and that is to Allah Ta'ala. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Even those three people are forgiven. They had committed this mistake, they had stayed behind. That is supposed to have been a sign of a munafiq. Allah knows these are not munafiqeen. Allah knows there's iman in their hearts. Allah Ta'ala brings them back through this particular process. And Allah Ta'ala says, even they have been forgiven. The lines are clearly drawn. The mu'mineen on the one side, munafiqeen on the other side. This ummah stands ready to take up the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to march with it to all four corners of the world. The fact that you and I and millions of people all over the world are sitting with the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is on account of these tests, year after year, battle after battle, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba were subjected to by Allah Ta'ala himself, until such time that we knew very clearly, these are the ones who are beloved to Allah, these are the ones who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased with, to them we owe our iman, to them we owe our deen. Radiyallahu anhu wa radu an. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with them. May Allah Ta'ala take out of our hearts any feeling of rancor, any feeling of hatred, any feeling of criticism against such noble people who imparted to us a legacy which our parents couldn't impart to us. They imparted to us the legacy of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.